Kidron Valley and back up into the Eastern Gate into Jerusalem. From that viewpoint of Jerusalem, it is a very beautiful and astounding view of the city of Jerusalem. And knowing that the Eastern Gate at that day was open and they could go in and out of that gate. As Jesus started down and he looked over that city, and it says he stopped as he started to descend from the Mount of Olives, and he looked over the city, not only over Jerusalem, he's looking over Roseau, over Minnesota, over the United States. And he's weeping because so many of the people do not realize the day of his visitation. They do not realize that he is the Son of the living God, sent by God himself into the world to die for the sins of the world, to bring to justice those that are not just, that he would demonstrate his own love to us while we were yet sinners, he would die for us, and that the great plan of salvation, which was put in place even before the world began, all of this, I'm sure, came into Jesus's mind, and he's looking down not only at Jerusalem, but also through the centuries into our day. And he's looking at our country, and he's looking at us as his people. And he is saying, oh, if you had only realized the day of your visitation, if you would have realized that the Son of God is there with you, that the Son of God is come to die for your sins, that God the Father has made it that the salvation would come through the cross of Calvary. And through that cross, as Jesus is lifted up from the earth, all men in the world would be drawn to him. And in that drawing, we would find that we see the same thing happened when the Israelites left Egypt and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And those that looked at that serpent were saved because of their bites of the scorpions and so forth. And yet we find today Satan is on the warpath like never before. And he's doing everything he can to get rid of God, to get rid of Christianity. We find even in the United States in 1972, we had the great trial by the Supreme Court, and they okayed abortion. Since that time, we've seen God kicked out of almost every school, and the praising and worshiping of God the Father as the only God, no other God before him. We find so many churches and people have put him aside. And putting him aside, they wonder why we have all the problems we have today. We have shootings and mass killings, and now they say we have to get rid of the guns. And the satanic forces are saying, yes, get rid of the guns, so then nobody will be able to do anything against us that we want to do. You see, there is a war against Christianity, against what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, against him riding into Jerusalem that day. And as he said there in Luke, they told him, they says, make sure, keep your disciples quiet. They're making too much noise. And Jesus said, if they didn't praise God and praise Hosanna in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men through Jesus Christ only and what he does on the cross of Calvary. If we do forget that, if we do forget that, we have forgot our salvation. We have turned our backs on God the Father, because he sent his son Jesus into the world for one thing, and that's to save you and I. And we look back over the years and when he was there and through the years of today, and we find so much, oh, how we need to bow our heads in prayer, bow our knees before Christ, and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We find this over and over again. We find that as they took God out of the schools, and they're trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and God off of the money, in God we trust, if you look on your coins and you wonder, do we really trust in God? And many times the answer is no, because even the Christians have many times become complacent. They have quit reading the Bible. They have decided that the Bible has to say what they want it to say. If they want to do something, then it's okay. They forget that the Lord has told us that if we eat or drink or do anything to make our weaker brother or sister stumble in the Lord, it is a sin unto us. And how many times does that fall into our own lap, that we may think something is okay and we want to do it our way? Lord, I want you on my condition, not on yours. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As we look at today's scripture, we see in Zechariah that Jesus came riding on a donkey, the lowest form of riding, and in peace. We see in Isaiah that God purposely laid on him the transgressions of us all, and that on the cross he died for the transgressor. He died for you and for me. So as we look at the scripture text for today, which is Luke 12, beginning at verse 20, let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew in turn and Philip went and told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. For assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came into this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had been thundered, and others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. May be seated. When we find that Christ was glorified because he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, and when we look at this and we see that he will return in the same manner in which he left, we find he rode a donkey that day into Jerusalem. When he comes again, he'll be riding a horse, which means King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he comes riding that horse, he'll have written on his side and on him his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and names only he knows. He has told us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, even those who despise and would not believe or follow him. Even those who pierced him will see him as he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has had mercy upon us. God has watched over us and given us his justice and his mercy over and over and over again. We've seen here that two Greek or Gentiles wanted to come and see Jesus. If they wanted a private interview, it doesn't say. It doesn't say if they ever spoke to Jesus. But they wanted to speak to him. And maybe they were Christians and they believed in him and they wanted to see him for themselves. You see, it shows that they came seeking the Lord. They wanted to see the Lord. And it tells us in 1 John, it says, you know, if you say you have Christ and you love God, but you hate your brother or you have aught against your brother or sister, how can you say you love God when your brother or sister that you have seen, you have aught against them, and yet you say you love God who you have never seen? And you know, that makes us stop to think, how many of us today have evil thoughts or wrong thoughts maybe of somebody that has done us wrong or has taken and did something to us we didn't like, and therefore we haven't forgiven them? We say, I will never forget. I forgive, but I don't forget. If you don't forget, do you forgive? You see, God says, love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And as you do this, you will find that God himself will give you the strength to go day by day and to live for him day by day. And you will find that, as Jesus says, you will hate your own life and you will lose it for his sake. And in losing it for his sake, you will have eternal life. How many times do we forget to take and read or pray for those who have misused us, or to take and pray and befriend those who we maybe have had some miscalculations with in times past, or those that we will say, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. I think this is okay and that is okay, and if I do this or that, it's okay. And we find Paul tells us that if we do something, and he's talking in it about eating and drinking, and he says, if you make your weaker brother or sister stumble in the Lord, so they lose salvation, is a sin unto you. Is your image that you have for your family, for your friends, for your community, than showing Christ and Christ alone? Is it one in which we many times forget to pray for those who misuse us, or we forget to pray for those who have maybe talked about us in an ill way. And we find that as we pray for them and bring them into God's kingdom or into God's care, that the animosity we maybe have for them will disappear. Let us not be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees of Jesus' day and say it has to be this way or that way and that's it. Let us read the scripture and let us see what the scripture says, because we know we are sinful by nature and we know Satan is out there doing everything he can to dissuade us from following God. If a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it's one kernel. And yet when it comes forth, we have many kernels. And if you remember the parable of the soils, some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. And we find that there was some that didn't produce anything because they let the things of the world take over their life. And they went back into the world and they took and went for the things of the world instead of the things of God. They could not stand people talking about them, maybe. They could not stand people making fun of them. And yet, they wanted to be part of today's society. We find that they're trying to do away with guns. They're trying to do away with all kinds of different things. They're trying to do it man's way, not only in the United States, but worldwide. And they're trying to make everything global. And in making it global, Satan is smiling and saying, I'm going to have my own way and I will set up my own kingdom here on earth. And we will find that the people who do not have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will worship the beast, Satan himself. And we find that so very, very prevalent. We're told in Ephesians by Paul, he's writing, and in chapter 6, verse 10, he starts out and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, he is the one that has the strength. Christ won the victory over Satan. The word Jesus himself is all powerful. Jesus gives us the right to become his sons and daughters as we turn our lives over to him and as we trust in him from day to day. And as we not only read, but pray to him, asking him for his guidance, his knowledge, his understanding, that we too can live for him in such a way that people will see us and glorify God. Then it tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood in the sense of salvation, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan at this time seems to have a run of the universe. Yet God is saying, I am going to put you down and you will have only the earth to go on. You will go no other place. And Satan will be angry. He will not be able to accuse you as a believer before God, and Satan will come and try and set up his kingdom. And he is already doing everything he can to set that up. And we can see in the world moving today, it's moving more and more in that direction. Christianity is being attacked over and over again. And yet we see Jesus telling us, if we are willing to give up our life for him, he will save us and give us eternal life. You see, Jesus says, the one that endures to the end will be saved. those who do not give in to Satan, those who do not do God's or Satan's will, but do God's will. In 1-2 Corinthians, we read, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded those who do not believe." And how many times you can ask someone and they'll say, "I believe." Even the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God, because at one time he was in heaven with Jesus. He was the star of the morning. He was the morning and bright star. And when he rebelled, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. And he says, "I can raise up my throne to be equal to God in the highest places of the north." And God says, "I am the Lord thy God. There shall be no other gods besides me. Remember." And he told Moses, when Moses went into Israel or into Egypt, he says, "Tell them I am sent you." And when they asked Jesus who he was, he said, "I am. I am the living God. I am the one who came into the earth, sent by God the Father to die on Calvary's cross for your sins and for the sins of the world. I am the one that we read in Isaiah 53 where God let him die for his transgressors, and many of the transgressors will be saved." We find even today that the people are, many of them are trying to change the times and the seasons. Jesus said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's law will not pass. Not one tittle or one jot or one dot will pass from the law until all things are fulfilled." And we find more and more that Christianity in and of itself being attacked by more and more people. And more people are trying to go into the, I call it the New Age movement, but they're going into the area where they're saying, "God really doesn't mean that he would punish me if I did this or that. God's word is sure. God tells us how to live. God tells us that if we think our ways are better than his ways, they are not. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts." And we find that God himself will judge. And when he calls us out of this world, he calls us then, and we have to stand before him in judgment. And we find that those who believe have the light of the gospel living in them, and they have Jesus Christ living in their heart and their life. If they turn and continue walking with the Lord will not only give them guidance and peace, even in these troubled times. Have you ever stopped to think that as you watch the world go by, so to speak, how the troubles of the world are going by on either side of you, yet, because you have Jesus in your heart and in your life, you can sit there and peacefully watch the things happening, knowing that Jesus has saved you and forgiven you of your sin. Yet, God tells us to be willing to speak out, willing to live in such a way that God will be seen in us and people will glorify him. That people would may come to us and want to know why we are peaceful in the Lord, and we can tell them very plainly. There are many religions out there today. Some of them have some truth and lots of error. Some of them have lots of error and little truth. And we find we have to be very careful search the scripture, Jesus says, for they tell of me. And as we search that scripture, we can be like that grain of wheat that falls in the ground and it produces 30, 60, or 100 fold for Jesus' kingdom, because we're willing to stand for his word. We're willing to pray for our enemies. We're willing to pray for those who love the Lord. We're willing to do things that will not make our brothers or sisters stumble, but that we will stand fast in what God has told us to do, proclaiming his word, living for him day by day. Yes, physically we have many, many problems sometimes, yet God can forgive us and will forgive us as we sincerely come to him and ask him not only to take care of us, but to forgive us our sins and to help us understand the gospel as we read it, that we would do his will in his way and letting him have first place in all of our lives. That Jesus said, if these people quit crying out, the stones would take and start crying out because they know who the Son of God is. Are we willing to stand up? I have asked a question, and I will ask it again, probably many times. How many times have you in the past week invited someone to church, or invited someone to pray, or invited someone to read the scripture with? How many people have you been willing to step out and say, let us go to a solitary place and pray about a problem that they might be telling you about? Or how many times have you came to somebody, an acquaintance maybe, or maybe not, and start talking, and they seem to know what the Lord wants them to do, and you ask them, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And they will say, I think so, or I hope so. And so you can lead them in scripture to the point that they can know they have Jesus, that they don't hope, they know. Because you see, Jesus has told us that if we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, we will know he is our Lord and our Savior. We will know where we are bound. We will know he died for our sins, and we accept everything he has done on the cross. We have come to the cross. We've knelt down before the cross and asked Jesus to be our Lord, to have that personal relationship with him, that he too can lead us and guide us in all things. That it is not our thoughts, but it's his way. It's not what we think, but it's what scripture says. Help us that we may live this way forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that Jesus, that you would not only move in our hearts, but you would help us to move in such a way that we would be able to say very openly, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior. You are the one I serve. Lord, help me to serve you and be your servant this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 96. Mm-hmm.